Welcome to the Build Your Coaching Business podcast. We'll talk about how to start, grow, and enjoy your coaching business. Plus, we'll dig into the failures and lessons we've learned along the way. I hope you enjoy and subscribe. Hello, welcome back. In this week's episode, we're going to talk about creating with perfectionistic tendencies. And in this episode, I'm going to revolve it around an example around launching or selling a new offer. But this applies to anything. If you have perfectionist tendencies, which we'll kind of dig into a little bit, because maybe you have them and you don't realize it, or maybe you're painfully aware that you have them, but you don't have a technique for pulling yourself out of them, creating in spite of them, not resisting them, but just knowing this is some of the things I do. These are my habits, and having a plan. So that's what we're going to cover in today's episode. But when I think about ways you can use this, what you might be creating, that's what I'm trying to say. It's like my examples are around selling a new offer, but this applies, right? Your perfectionist tendencies are going to come up when you launch, when you build out the content of an offer, when you want to start a podcast, when you want to start running ads and you've never done it before, or you've never done it successfully before, when you want to build a new website or your first one, when you want to post on social media, when you want to write an email, any project you have in your business, you risk running into your own perfectionistic tendencies. And I think the people who are most likely to have these are high-achieving women who've been very driven and very focused on what they want. And it has served us in a way. And yet, now that it's time to build a business, it brings in some experiences that aren't as fun. So if you aren't aware, or maybe you are, here are some of the things that I look at when I hear or notice myself in my perfectionist tendencies. I would say the overarching theme of it is that I want to get it right. I want to do it well. I want it to be perfect the first time. And sometimes I'm aware of this thought and sometimes I'm not, right? I still get coached on this because even though I have all of this stuff in place, even though I've seen it over and over and over again, my mind can still shroud it in this air of mystery and uncertainty. And so when I take it to a coach, it helps me to become aware all over again of this is me in this theme of I want to get it right the first time. I want it to be really good. And the trickle down from this desire for something to be right the first time is that you're going to overthink the details. You're going to stay stuck focusing on a single area of the project instead of looking, pulling back, realizing, oh my gosh, you know what? If I spend 12,000 hours on this one piece of the project, I never get to the other pieces. But when you're stuck in that perfectionistic loop, that never occurs to you. It's like, well, obviously, when you say it out loud and you realize it, but it's like, oh. It also looks like knowing I want to be taking action on some things, but it's this awareness of, and I'm not. And that can be painful sometimes because our brain tries to understand it. And usually what it provides us is just more self-judgment. You're not doing what you know you should be doing. You already have this list. And then in an attempt for the brain to be like, well, I don't like judging myself, right? And this is all happening subtly. It then just distracts you and points you in a completely different direction. So instead of paying attention to the actions and stuff you want to be doing but aren't, and then judging yourself, it points you in a completely different place so that you're not even paying attention to that anymore. And when I think about how this trickles down to feel, it feels like a lot of pressure, not from anybody else, but from yourself. It feels stressful and tense. Maybe you have some anxiety, maybe nervousness. And then it's easy to tip into this sense of discouraged and despair, right? When we can add in self-judgment. Because it's like when you think it's not going to be good, or when you look at how, when you're stuck in that loop of like, I want to be doing these things and I'm not, and I just can't get myself to do it, that is so easy then to like fall into that like discouraged space, because you're like, I mean, I see it and I still can't do it. And so we're just becoming aware like, oh, this is my perfectionistic loop. This is the space I go into. And I like imagining it like a room, right? Because remember, you guys, when you have a brain and you're trying to think with the same brain that you are lost in, the only, like, you're just looking for like little techniques that help you separate yourself from what's happening in your own brain. And so if I can put things in a room, right? Or with the way I reference it as a loop, it's like, oh, that's just that habit of perfectionism, that loop of perfectionism. And when my brain hears a loop, I'm like, oh, in order to leave that habit, I just have to break out of that loop. Nothing, right? Like nothing has magically gone wrong. Nothing's horribly gone wrong. I'm just like, I'm in this loop going over and over and over again. And that's why awareness of being in the loop is the first step to getting out of it. Because once you're aware you're in the loop, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Now I can start to like figure out how do I get out. So I imagine that my perfectionistic tendencies might be in a room. And so when I step back and I just know, okay, I want to run a business. I want to do projects. I already know about myself that I'm gonna wanna do it really well and perfectly the first time. I just already know this about myself. And I already know that when that comes up, I'm gonna like spiral down this loop. I'm gonna go in this room and it's gonna be very confusing on how to get back out. And so when I know that ahead of time, I set this process up so that I don't go in that room at all. Or I might go in that room, but it's like I've been in another room and it's like, oh, I just like wandered in there unconsciously. Like this isn't a problem. I can leave because I've been in this other room more. And that's what I'm going to break down for you in this podcast. There are three thoughts, and we might see them as even as a process, right? Like three like processes, three, they're not processes in and of themselves, but it's like, it's the reason I have another room. In this room, I think these three thoughts. I'm going to tell you what those thoughts are, but then I'm going to tell you why they work and what they are, not combating, but like what they are soothing, what they are melding with in my own mind. And you can then tweak this to make it work for you. So, what did I write here? Oh, why do we want, let me tell you this one first. And I was like, oh yeah, good note, good idea. Tell them that. It's like, why do you want to create this other room? I mean, you're probably like, obviously, because perfectionism is painful. Yes, right? But it's like, you want to know this other room exists because you want to have great ideas and release them into the world. Right? Like why you want to break this perfectionist loop is that you want to be able to have ideas and bring them into the world. You want to be able to stay out of the weeds the first time through something, right? Like you want to be able to give yourself this perspective rather than being lost in your to-do list, lost in just all the things your mind tells you you needed to be doing. You want to actually get the stuff out, right? You have this great idea, you release it into the world. You want the experience of doing this other thing, right? Like having a new process rather than, you want experience not being stuck in the loop. Because think about that, right? Like if your habit is to go into a perfectionist loop that keeps you from releasing things into the world, you want experience doing it differently. That is a win. I know sometimes it's easy to just focus on the end result. Be like, well, did I get a billion people to register for my webinar? Yes or no? Well, then it sucked and it didn't work. No. It's like If my tendency is to be stuck in a perfectionistic loop, then I am winning because I tried and found a whole new process to use instead of that, that actually lets me get my stuff out into the world. And then here is the biggest reason. Well, I don't know biggest, but I like this one and it was last. And it's that how you use your brain space matters. I think about this. When I coach a newer coach, and by newer, I just mean they do not have experience yet creating money. They have not created money over and over and over again so that their brain has been trained to say, I know how money is created. I know why someone wants to pay me. I am trained my mind in thinking about why they want this and how to think from that perspective and how to see my offer in that way. And what happens is that they give a lot of brain space to things that, it's not that they're things that don't matter, right? They do matter. They're little things that need to be cleaned up one by one. But it's like, as you clean those things up, how you are winning is that your brain doesn't have to come back and clean them up again. So when you think about this perfectionistic loop where you might have a great idea, but then get stuck, or you do it really slowly, or you then give up on it and you never bring it out. When you have this new habit and way of doing it, whether it's mine or something that prompts because you heard this podcast, it gives you access to not give brain space to this anymore. Because when you're not stuck, when you're not lost in the details, you know what you're doing. You're having a great idea. You're releasing it into the world. You're getting experience. People are using it. People are getting help. You're becoming really clear on what to change and what to tweak. You're flooded with new ideas. You keep trying things, acknowledging that you do not know ahead of time what's going to work or not. And you feel pretty decent in your life and your business because you aren't sitting there resisting and feeling stuck and nervous and right? That's what you get instead. So let's look at this because I've broken this down into three thoughts. I'm going to tell you what the three thoughts are. And then I'm going to just go through and tell you why they work for me, which then can prompt your brain on maybe why this thought could work for you or what you might need that might be just slightly different, right? Because not every thought is going to work the same for every person. So you may get a prompt from this thought. You might be like, ooh, I like that thought, but I need something a little different. Perfect. Or maybe this one clicks right into what you need. So I'm going to read those three thoughts, then we're going to break them down. Here's the first thought. This is in that other room where we've broken out. We just know the perfectionistic loop happens. We're like, yep, that's a room. I do not want to go there. I still might go there. How will I know I'm there? For me, at least, I know I'm there because I feel very stressed out. I am not having fun. I'm putting a lot of pressure on my body and on myself, right? I feel it in my body, but I'm putting it on myself mentally. And that's the little red alert. It's because I'm watching my body and I'm like, this does not feel right. So I'm like, okay, something's gone wrong here. Oh, I just went back in that room again. So we just know that room exists. You will go back in it, but that's not a problem, right? Because there's this other room. And as soon as we realize we went in that room, we're just going to walk back to the other one. The first thought is, I'm doing this how I know to do it. That feels simple, easy, and fun. So think about this. The point of the examples I'm going to give you in this episode are around launching a new offer. So imagine that, thinking you're launching this new offer and you think, I'm doing this how I know to do it. Just, I already know how to do some stuff. I'm going to do it that way. I'm going to do it in a way that feels simple. I'm going to do it in a way that feels easy. And I'm going to do it in a way that feels fun. That's the first thought. The next thought is, after I get this first round of selling this new offer done, I'm going to review it and I'm going to see what's obvious to adjust, right? Let me tell that one again, right? You have this new offer, you're getting ready to sell it. After I get this all done, I'm going to review it. I'm going to see what's obvious to adjust. And then here's the final thought. The tweaks I want to make are going to be so obvious and it's going to be easier for me to put them in place for next time. The tweaks I want to make will be so obvious, and it'll be easy for me to put them in place for next time. So let's go back through these thoughts now, right? So those are the three thoughts that are in the other room and that help you stay in there and stay focused, right? And that help you actually, right? Like, we can talk about enjoying your business and making it feel fun, but when you're stuck in a perfectionistic loop, that does not feel fun, right? And so it's like, okay, well, if we want to have fun, what do we need to do? Okay, right? Like, these thoughts can help you have fun in that other room. These thoughts can be what you put in place so that you have a guide for yourself, a mental guide for how to show up to your business and do the things you need to do. So here was that first thought. I'm doing this how I know to do it. That feels simple, easy, and fun. So this thought allows me to focus on what I already know and gives me permission to let it be easy. Think about that. Because the alternative is agonizing over all the things that need to be done, feeling like, oh my gosh, there's so much. My brain has made up this like perfect way it should be done. And then I'm like frozen in it because I want it to be done that way and I want it to be really good the first try. So this thought allows me to focus on what I already know and gives me permission to let it be easy. So instead of thinking, I don't know what to do, this doesn't seem like enough, right? Like, you make your list of what you're going to do to like hit your goal and you're like, well, this doesn't seem like enough. It helps me not think like, oh, I need to do all this stuff and it's so much. It helps me not think I want to do this well or I want to get this right. So when I'm thinking this thought, I don't know, I'm doing this how I know to do it, that feels simple, easy, and fun. I actually don't push myself to learn new ways of doing things. And I know that's not going to work every time, or it has to be kind of adjusted. But the first time you do something, if we're letting it be simple, easy, and fun, the first time you do something isn't the time to push yourself into doing something new. It's not the time to be like, well, you know, this is my first time ever selling this, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to actually layer 12 things I've never done before and I'm going to learn all in this one, right? Like, that sounds like a torture method. Like, how to torture yourself when selling something new, 12 steps. No, like, it's a terrible, like, it's, you can anticipate ahead of time. That's going to feel really hard. So I don't push myself to learn new ways of doing things. I just focus on what I already know how to do. And notice when it doesn't matter what you know how to do, because you're gonna let it get better and better. So it's like, you then, instead of your brain pointing outwards, instead of your brain trying to go read another book, take another course, figure something out and how to do it properly, you get to turn your brain back to yourself and you get to ask yourself questions like, okay, so like, what do I know to do? What does feel simple? What would be fun to do? How could I do this in the easiest, simplest way for me? And your brain, it churns out when you ask it that kind of stuff. It has an answer for you. And then, right, you're not even thinking about all the stuff you're resisting anymore because you're not approaching it in the same way. Right? You're not approaching it as in like, oh, I've got this long to-do list. And inside of this to-do list, I'm also wondering if it's going to be enough. And I'm wondering and I'm doubting and I'm fearful and I'm like panicking about all the stuff that needs to be done. So then, right, all those emotions, your brain's like, I'm not really quite sure how to handle all this. So you resist them or you avoid them. And it's like, or you just let yourself do it in a way that you know how to do. That feels simple, easy, and fun, right? It sounds so obvious when I say it out loud, but like, this is the kind of thing that I have learned from experience and watching my brain and building these awarenesses of this so that I can build something else, right? So I can build a mental process to do it differently. So when I think about how this showed up in my first, when I sold the 6-week sprint for the very first time, my brain wanted to get caught up in all the details, the automations, the content, the selling, right? All of it, because I wanted it to be great. I wanted it to be perfect. I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. I was stuck in this stress loop. I wasn't having any fun, right? That was my little flashing light. Oops, something is going on here. And so there was a point where I just stopped and I asked myself, how can I let this be simple? What do I already know how to do? What's the most important things to actually getting this result? And the answer to that, what's the most important here to get this result? It came down to just a few things. Oh, thinking about why this person wants this, that's pretty important. Saying it in different ways in my emails. Building the experience that happens once they join. And then I just had some basic like details and a link to buy. That was it. I was like, those are the most simple. Like, that's what I know to do. This is the most simple. That's all I need. Versus what I didn't put on the list as most important at the time was talking about it on social media. I was like, nope, I do not have the brain space to do it. So I only talked about it on my mailing list. I think I might have posted it like once or twice, but I let it go. I was like, nope, don't have the brain capacity to do it and have fun and it feels simple and easy. So I just was like, we're not going to do that then. I didn't have the capacity to set up the automations and make sure that everything happened in an automated way and didn't make the list as most important. And so I just chose, I sent all the emails manually. And again, when we think about like end user experience, it's like, sure, I like that it's like tighter when we have an automation, but sometimes we do not have the brain space to do it. And so instead, every single time I sent an email to someone welcoming them in, they had bought, and so I sent the email automatically. I used that as a space to feel connected to like the things I'm doing are working. These people are joining. Like, I have a great offer that they want. And so every time someone bought and I was manually sending those emails, I just used that space to connect into that. And then the other thing that didn't make the list as that important was a sales page. I didn't have a sales page until the second day of selling it. So it was like, I'd already started. Because notice what happened is I was just like, what's the most important things? I'm just going to get those out there. And then inside of that ease and that relaxing of like, oh, okay, good, I'm doing good. Instead of thinking, oh my gosh, there's so much to do, like stuck in that pressure loop, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing good. This is great. People are buying. This is so fun. And it made it so much easier to sit down and be like, okay, well, like, what do we want to put on the sales page? And I was using the same type, these three thoughts, I was still using them for the sales page. Like, I'm doing this how I know to do it. That feels simple, easy, and fun, right? I was using the same three types of thoughts. And so on the first day of, while I was writing those first day of emails, I also just wrote the sales page, right? I think I wrote the first email and I was like, oh, this looks like a good sales page. I'll just put this on there. And then I was like, oh, good, that's done. But it wasn't done until day two. So this thought, I'm going to just do it how I know to do it. That feels simple, easy, and fun. The thought reminds you of what to filter for. The thought reminds you of the questions to ask yourself, right? It's like, oh, simple. Oh, like what question would I ask myself? How could I let this be simple? Right? I know, like, I'm doing this how I know to do it. Oh, how do I know to do it? I'm doing this in a way that's easy for me. What is easy for me? I'm doing this in a way that's fun. What would be fun? And so when you let the thought guide you, it like will automatically prompt your brain into what's next. The second thought, after I get this done, I'll review it and see what's obvious to adjust. Now, when we step back from our business, this sounds so like obvious. You're like, good idea. But in the moment when you are lost in your perfectionism, it isn't the most obvious thing to do. So what I love about this thought is that it is a decision. It's a commitment to my own growth. It's me remembering that when this thing is over that I'm doing, this project or whatever, that I'm going to stop and I'm going to look and see what happened objectively so I can look at it. And so when I remember this, it's like, it is a comfort. It's like when you make a decision, one of the things I coach people on is like, okay, if you don't know the answer, sometimes your decision has to be that I'm going to decide, I'm going to decide a date to decide. So if you don't know today, you're like, okay, well, on the 30th, I'm going to put it on my calendar to look at this decision again. And what that does for your brain is it allows it to not worry about it, to like give brain space to it, because you know it's on my calendar and I'm going to do it. I'm going to re-look at it that day. And so the brain suddenly is like, oh my gosh, I don't have to carry and drag these chains of trying to remember it around. I can just release it. And it's the same thing with this thought. When I already have decided and committed that when it's done, I'm going to look at what happened objectively and learn from it, it gives myself this like release of like, oh, okay, we don't have to get this perfect the whole time. We don't even have to try and remember everything. Although, you know, sometimes I jot things down as I go, but it's like, oh, I'm going to stop and look. It's going to be clear what to adjust. And I believe that from experience, right? And I think you could too, if you took a moment to like think back to something and it's like, oh, you know what? It is clear what to tweak. As long as you haven't given it too much time, it's like, yeah, I mean, I see what happened here. So this thought reminds me of what I already know, which is that tweaks are obvious after you've done it. When you make a pot of soup, like, and you taste it when it's done, your tweaks become obvious right in that moment. They're not going to be obvious weeks and months later. You're not going to remember. But you eat, I made this chicken and rice soup. I don't know. It got fall time, right? It got cooler. And so my brain just like repopulated entirely different meals I haven't made in 6 months. But I never made this meal before. And so the first time I made it, I put this like rotisserie chicken I had frozen in the freezer and I put it in. And then after the first few handfuls that I put in, I was like, oh, I should like cut this up because I do not like having giant bitefuls of stuff where it's like hanging off the spoon and then I can't get in my mouth and then I'm like slapping stuff all over. I don't really like that experience. And so I was like, oh, cut the chicken into smaller pieces. That way every spoonful has like small things that fit perfectly into my mouth. But that's right. Like that's the simple thing that's like it becomes so obvious after you make it. And sometimes there are things wrong that you do not know how to fix them yet. And in that case, right, it's the same thing with cooking, but it's the same thing with any project or thing you do. Sometimes all you're doing is you're just writing down everything you can about it. This happened. This is what it looked like. I'm not really sure yet, but maybe these are my guesses about what happened. Because sometimes that's all you can do. Just like when a recipe goes horribly wrong, you're like, I do not know exactly what happened. But like if I had to guess, here's some things it could have been. And when we're making recipes, there is no reason for us to write all this down and be documented. But when you are launching something new, there is every reason to have a Google Doc, to be writing down like, this is what I learned. This is what I saw. This is what I experienced. This is how I felt doing it. This is what I think could have happened so that the next time you do it, you can come back to that and go through it for yourself. So when I, this is funny. This is an example of like, I caught myself in this loop. And I was able to pull myself out. This was that first time I launched the 6-week sprint. So remember, the thought is after I get this done, I'm going to review it and I'm going to see what's obvious to adjust. Here's why this thought was so important for me, because when I launched it that first time, I didn't mention that I was launching. I mentioned it. I mentioned it like 2 times. So, you know, when you sell, there's the whole like seed it, make sure people know it's coming. It's like, oh, good idea. That does sound smart. But I only told people about it like 2x. And so in my brain, while I like, instead of like focusing on talking to people and thinking about why they want this and like just loving my offer, my brain was stuck obsessing, thinking nobody's going to buy this because I didn't tell them about it ahead of time. I'm doing this wrong. I should have done this differently. This was right before I started like sending the emails to invite people to buy, but also probably in that first, I don't know exactly when, but it's like there was brain space in that middle section somewhere. And it's like, if someone were looking at this with perspective and they weren't lost in it, they'd be like, that's probably not a good use of your brain space, right? You'd be like, obviously. But it didn't feel like that at the time. At the time, it felt like it just was all consuming and it didn't feel optional not to think that stuff. I was just obsessing over how I'd done it wrong and I should have done it differently. And like, ugh, I didn't seed it. And like, this is going to be the reason it never works. Fast forward, you guys, I thought I could fill 10 spots. I ended up filling 20. So I had two groups of it that first round. So it's like, right? Like you have to be cautious of your brain. This is the kind of thing where I'm like, just because my brain thinks it, I know that doesn't mean it's true. Because I get to look back in the past and I'm like, I remember obsessing about that. And then I filled two groups with different thoughts. Obviously, I didn't stay obsessing. So when I think about why is this story relevant to this thought, after I get it done, I'll review it and see what's obvious to adjust. There was a moment in there where it clicked for me. Oh, this is just something I'm going to do differently next time. I'm just going to make note of this. Next time I want to tell people it's coming. And then I did. The next launch around, I had like, I don't know, multiple emails where I was just very purposeful about this is coming. But that right there, that thought, oh, this is just one of the things I'm going to do differently next time. It falls in this realm, right? Like after I get done, I'll review it and I'll see what's obvious to adjust. Because it let me release that in that moment. I don't need to obsess over it. I don't need to worry about this. I can just put this on my list because I had already started, right? I kind of have it going, but then I also like stop at the very end. I'll just put this on the list next time I want to make sure I seed my offer. And then my brain was like, oh, okay, great. And it just moved on to focus on the stuff that actually helps you sell and like, you know, do stuff. So that's that second thought. After I get this done, I'll just review it and I'll see what's obvious to adjust. Okay, the third thought. This one sounds a lot like the last one, but this one is actually future focused. So here is this thought. The tweaks I want to make will be obvious. And it'll be easier for me to put it in place next time. Oh, this actually ties perfectly into my whole obsessing about the seeding thing, but that's okay. So this thought is future focused. And for me, this creates such comfort for me. Like I'm not even thinking about my like must do it right and perfectly. All of those thoughts are in that other room. I'm not even considering them anymore. They don't even come up. Because instead, I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm getting this done. I'm staying in this mode of just like, what do I know to do? What would be fun? What would be simple? I'm getting these things out there. I'm just jotting things down that I know I want to do differently next time. But here's what this at the source of this one. It's visualizing that next time and imagining that it's going to be simpler and easier and better, which is what I always want. I see sometimes where I buy something from someone and I'm like, what is happening here? This is like so judgmental of me is there. I'm like, this is so basic and like, what happened? And then my judgment kind of clicks in at a different level where I'm like, are you kidding me? Like these people are experienced and this isn't the first time they've sold this. And like, they're just choosing to keep offering and selling something that is so basic and simple instead of making it better. And in that moment, I'm like, this just reinforces, like, I want to make mine better every time. I want the experience to be better. I want the content to, I want it to hit the point where I want it to be, right? There's going to be a point where it's like, no, this is exactly what I want. This is what I think is great. But that doesn't mean it always has to start there. So with this thought, the tweaks I want will be so obvious and it'll be easier for me to put them in place the next time. I am already trusting myself and imagining that the next time it's going to be simpler, it's going to be even better, but that those tweaks are going to come from just what's so obvious. Because when like this perfectionist tendency, right? Like what's at risk is that you're going to sit down, you're going to have a goal, you're going to have a project you want to create, and your plan is going to be very perfect. It's going to be for someone who has experience doing the things on your list, not ever running into any problems doing them. And it's like, that's just not the case, right? I kind of mentioned that earlier. Like if you're just launching and selling something for the first time, that's not the time to layer 12 new things on it. So you can write that down. Like, this is my ideal version of how this looks. So I'm thinking about selling the 6-week sprint. There is my ideal version of what that looks like. And maybe that sounds like, oh, I run a webinar and I run it twice. And I do ads to it and I tweak those ads, and there's like 500 registrants for each webinar, and I create social media stuff ahead of time and I schedule it and I write these emails and I schedule them and I set up automations so that everything clicks and I test it so that it actually like works. And then I relax on a beach while everything runs and I'm available to problem solve, but I'm not like obsessing about it and I'm not writing things in real time. And my course delivery is already set up. Everything's in place and it's perfect. It's exactly what I want it to be. It looks perfect. The flow is perfect. The words, there isn't a single word in it that's extra. It's all just exactly what they need. That's my ideal place. And so I want to caution you that your ideal place doesn't prevent you from showing up this time to get it done. Because when you can look at this ideal place and you can say, yes, I do want this. I think for myself, I'm like, okay, my goal business, actually, I don't even know that my goal business has all these things in place already, but it might, right? My plateau business. And it's just saying, you know what, today, this kind of loops us back to that very first thought. In order to get this done, I want to have this peace for my business. And I'm going to do what I know how to do. That feels simple, easy, and fun. Even though I have this idealistic, perfect way I want it to look, this is just my guide. This is where I'm going to get better and better to get to, right? But I don't have to start there. I don't have to be there today. I don't have to try and force myself to make that happen this first time around. Because what that's going to cause you to do, right? It's going to cause you to not take action. It's going to cause you to avoid it. It's going to cause you to then like be confused at your own avoiding of things. It's going to cause you to be busy doing other things. It's going to cause you to be putting in a lot of effort and work, but not actually getting results you want. It's going to cause you to be emotionally exhausted. It's also going to cause you to risk giving up. If you are trying to hit perfectionism the first time and you're like, I just can't do it, right? All of us from perspective, all of us that are in the crowd, we're not actually watching you, but like if we were, we would all be like, obviously that was always going to be really hard. And just because it's hard doesn't mean you should do it the first time. Or the second, or the third, or the fourth. Sometimes you are just letting yourself do what's easy, what you know how to do right now, what's simple. I think about how much this has actually guided me in my business because I've had these perfectionist tendencies all 7 years of my business. And it's like that willingness to just keep coming back. What do I know to do? What would be simple for me to do? What would be the easiest way for me to get this out there? What would be fun? And then my mind sparks with that creativity. And it allows me then to put aside all of the things that were stopping me from doing individual things, writing an email, writing a social media posts, all this stuff, and just getting it out there. But you're not going to remember this space right away, right? So You're going to have that perfectionist room. You're going to have this other room, and then you're going to practice realizing the places in your business that you're staying in the perfectionist room on accident. So even though I'm the one teaching you this, I'm like, no, this is my own process that I keep using over and over and over again. Because even as I was recording this, I want to start creating these digital courses. And so as I'm saying this to you, what I realized was, oh my gosh, I've been stuck in that perfectionistic room around creating these digital courses. And right, how do I know? It's because I like have these ideas and I write the idea down and then I like never do anything else with it. So we're like aware of inaction, but I didn't feel bad about it. So I was just like, oh, okay, there must not be a problem. But this is the moment where it's like, oh, I either need to decide that there's a date I'm going to do that, or I can look at like, oh, is this the right? It's probably going to be more of a date when I'm going to look at it. But it's like, you want to look at it. Like, am I trying to be perfectionistic about it? Because when you are, you're never going to bring the thing to life. It's never going to seem like the right time. And whether it feels good or bad, it doesn't matter, right? It's just like, you're just watching your business. You're watching your brain. Am I doing the things I want? So then you can break the loop of it. Then you can realize you have that room and you don't have feel forced to stay in it all the time. Okay, that's this week's episode. I'm glad I get to give this to you and I get to help you with this in your business and share, because this is what it sounds like when we think about running a business with our minds. And of course, that involves action, but it's like when we start with the top part of like, what am I thinking and how do I let that trickle down? We get to use our brain very strategically. And that allows you to make money in a much simpler way. Okay, I'll talk to you next week. Hey, who's your business coach? If you don't have one, I'd be honored to help you grow your coaching business. If your one-on-one coaching offer needs a revamp or built for the first time, I've created a 7-part mini course to help you. You'll nail down who you help, with what, do market research to make sure people actually want to buy it, decide the length of your offer, your price, and even your process to deliver on your offer. Best of all, this mini course is free. Your offer is not what makes you money in your coaching business. It's your beautiful and creative mind. Your offer, though, focuses your attention and builds your confidence selling something you know you can deliver on. Sign up for this free training at ElizabethSalazarCoaching.com. I'll see you over there.